Gang, the coronavirus has proven that it's going to be here for a while. The nasal swab tests are hard to get and very expensive. Well, our friends at ProResults are doing rapid COVID-19 antibody testing to let you know if you have had the virus. They take cash or credit, no insurance needed, no doctor appointment required, and you get your results in 15 minutes. Tell them you heard about them on How Did I Get Here and receive 15% off of your tests. Just go to ProResultsAustin.com/HDIGH or follow the link in the text of this podcast for 15% off antibody testing for COVID-19.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys are all healthy and sane out there. Whatever it is you're doing, I hope you're staying healthy, sane, oh, and cool. Because today when I'm doing this the day before it comes out on Tuesday. Gang, it's going to be like 107 here in Austin, and that is the boiling point, baby. That's the boiling point for the John man. I had to go out to the grocery store. I went out this morning before it got hot. I've been trying to exercise, been trying to do that before it gets hot. But it is already so hot when I get up in the morning. It's so muggy. These walks, I come back dripping wet with sweat. I look like someone poured a bucket on me. So anyway, I hope you're staying healthy, sane, and cool out there, whatever it is that you're doing. Gang, I want to thank everyone that had some feedback on that Gowdy show. Yeah, my old band Gowdy, we put out a record in the year 2000 on July 11th, 2000. And it was a harrowing story about trying to make a record for a major label. It was Lars Ulrich's label under Elektra Records. And my friend Einar and I just told the story of, like, you know, making a record twice, dealing with a weird rock star head of a label, like trying to keep a band together, all this kind of stuff. It's very intense. It's a very good story, but I do want to thank everyone for the feedback. It's been fantastic hearing from you. Gang, I also want to throw out there that I will be playing a show on facebook.com/Johnny Gowdy Music. I'll be doing a show this Thursday at 6 p.m. Central Time. I'll be doing Thursdays this month of July. I'm doing solo shows on there. You can come out and say hi, check out some music if you're a fan of my music. I'm doing these solo shows. I'm sitting here singing on my phone in my studio telling stories, and I have a disco light. So those are the things that I will attract you with to come to my live stream and enjoy my live stream on Johnny Gowdy Music on Facebook. That's Facebook.com/Johnny Gowdy Music, Thursdays at 6 p.m. Central Time. All right? All right, that's enough plugging and thanking people. Gang, I have a great show for you guys today. R&B singer Tori Blake is my guest on the show today. She is amazing. I heard about her through my friend Scott Collins, and he actually introduced us via email, so I want to thank my man Scott for doing that. Tori is an amazing R&B singer. She's got a few singles out there. You can check them out. You can find her on the Spotify's, on Instagram, wherever. She's a fantastic, fantastic singer, fantastic songwriter. There was one thing I didn't know about her. Her dad is a famous football player named Jeff Blake, who played for a long time. I called my cousin Eric afterwards and I said, "Hey, I just had Jeff Blake's," and he was like, "Oh my God!" But I don't know football after like 1982. I don't know the players. I mean, I know the super. You know, I know who Tom Brady is and stuff like that, right? Anyway, so I didn't know, but it was interesting to hear her story growing up, you know, going to moving to different cities for football and stuff, and she ended up living here in Austin. She is a great singer, a great songwriter. Her name is Tori Blake, and we have an amazing conversation. So without further ado, please enjoy my conversation with the great Tori Blake. Let's get down.
I ain't thinking about you. Ooh, ooh. Tell me what you gon' do when the night is and it's just me and you. Ooh, ooh.
awesome.
How are you doing, Tori?
I am doing pretty well.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm doing okay. This has been a better week for me. There's been a lot going on in the world, and yeah, it's been heavy, really heavy, because it's so real, you know?
Yeah. How's that been sitting with you?
I've honestly been an emotional wreck. It's actually knocked my creativity a little bit.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm half Black and I'm half Native American, but obviously, like, if you look at me, you know I'm Black, and I have Black brothers. And I have a sister, she's adopted, she's Asian. But besides the point, it's just like, being Black, there's always this thing about being more cautious and, you know, having to deal with, you know, little comments here and there about race, whether it's skin, hair, whatever it may be. Like, I haven't had like a huge racist moment in my life. Like, I haven't. And being a female is probably helped.
Right.
My brother, on the other hand, has experienced a lot more. I kind of grew up in a bubble as well, so I think that's another reason why I wasn't experiencing racism as much, like, on an individual level, like a day-to-day type thing.
Were you in a predominantly Black neighborhood?
No. So actually, my dad played for the NFL for 14 years.
What?
Yeah.
I am terrible with football stuff. Don't. Yeah.
Okay.
Don't let the mustache fool you.
Yeah. So he played in the NFL for 14 years. So when I grew up, I was bouncing around from city to city. I was homeschooled. I did gymnastics. So I was at the gym like 8 hours a day. I've lived in a lot of different places. Like, I lived in New Orleans. I lived in Baltimore. I've lived in Arizona.
What's your dad's name?
His name's Jeff Blake.
Jeff Blake. Okay.
Yeah.
Right, go ahead. Sorry. Yeah. So you moved around a lot.
Moved around a lot. And then Austin kind of became our home base. My parents just kind of like fell in love with the city, and we had like family friends here, and we ended up moving here like 20 years ago, 15, 20 years ago, and have kind of been here ever since. My whole family is a football family. Like, my uncle played for 10 years. I have a cousin in the NFL right now. My brother. Yeah, it just goes on and on and on. It goes on and on. So, but yeah.
So you are less emotional. What was your friend group? Was it your brother and sisters? Like, how many of you are there?
I have an older brother, and then I have a younger brother and a little sister. So there's four of us.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So were you guys kind of like your friend group as well?
Well, we all did sports.
Okay.
So we had that outlet. I think my parents did an awesome job of like I said, I was at the gym for 8 hours a day. So we were still socializing with other kids.
Okay.
It's not like we were cooped up and,
Right. But it also seems like in the music community among musicians, and I would assume among also athletes,
mm-hmm.
That's just like a natural sort of like, you respect each other as people.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, gymnastics is a little different because it's an independent sport, like, even though you're on a team. But yeah, especially for like football and stuff, it's like you're a unit.
Yeah.
I played volleyball in college for 4 years. Sports is like a really big thing in my family. I got a full ride and went to school, did that whole thing. And I was like, I should have stayed in Austin and just worked on music. And no, I shouldn't have, because I was not ready. I needed to grow up and live a little more.
Right.
And, yeah, and like God's timing is like everything, and it's all like in his time, and yeah, so yeah.
Tori Blake, I meant to say this at the top of the thing, but I forgot. Yeah. I love your music.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I think you're great.
Thank you.
I wish there was more of it.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I know. Like I said, I've kind of been in a creative standstill. I've been focusing, putting my energy into other things.
What other things?
In regards, I'm trying to figure out ways to like really help the Black community in Austin.
Yeah.
And I really want to start like highlighting a lot of Black businesses and Black products and stuff like that. I'm working on, I want to work with those brands and bring Black businesses to light. I feel like that's something that I'm passionate about and I really want to bring forward. And I feel like a lot of people should know about like these beautiful brands, that are not at the forefront. And like, I don't know, I just want to get more involved with like my community here as well, but I'm trying to think of other things that I can do that can, just help bring the Black community, uplift us, you know?
The economic place is a good place to focus. I mean, that is a place from what I understand, a few weeks ago, like a week after, Memorial Day weekend, after the murder of George Floyd, a friend of mine reached out for me. I don't know if you know James Robinson. Do you know him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I've seen him play a couple times.
James reached out to me and was like, hey, you know, you got this platform and I know that you're not racist, but you play into this whole thing and you don't really do anything about it. Mm-hmm. And so we had a conversation. He encouraged me to have these other conversations with other folks that he knew and people that I knew. And where was I going with that? Sorry.
Anyway. Black businesses, Black products.
Yeah. Anyway, so for the last few weeks, I have been educating myself in ways that I didn't, in everything that I kind of knew, but just kind of couldn't do anything about it. So just kept on with my life. Like, oh man,
yeah,
this shooting was terrible. # Black Lives Matter. I'm going to see what I'm going to have for lunch. And then you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I've changed up. What I've learned is that Black businesses and Black neighborhoods and those things need enriching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah.
Yeah. They really do. And I eventually want to like really, I nanny. That's like my day job. And I've always had a passion for kids as well. And I definitely want to get more involved with the kids.
Yeah.
I think that's super important to, you know, just give these kids like, you know, inspiration and for them to be able to like actually do what they dream of doing and stuff like that.
Right.
I think that's super important to have, for them to have role models, whatever they want to be.
Right.
So
where are you at right now with music? Do you have a single, any music coming out? I know you just put out that song, Ain't Thinking.
Yeah. So as of right now, I'm kind of like, I don't know. I'm in that artist thing of like, I was going to put this out, but then all this crap happened and like my energy shifted towards other things. Mm-hmm. I actually have a song that I did. I performed last weekend at the Far Out Lounge. Uh-huh. It was really beautiful. Kalu performed. There were a couple of poets who did an amazing job, and they had a great like conversation as well.
Oh, cool.
Just about Black artists in Austin and just about being Black in general.
Yeah.
They had a panel up there, Chris Beal, who's with Magna Carta, and Zia Lee, and a few other people. But it was just like a really, really great night. And I actually wrote a song, 5 days prior for that performance. And, I'm hoping to have that out soon, because it's definitely about like what's happening now. And just basically saying like, look, all this stuff is happening, but it's like up to us. It's up to you to like really take it upon yourself, to understand what's happening and understand like why this is happening and like how it's so ingrained like in our society, in our history. And it doesn't need to be going, it doesn't need to be overlooked by anyone any longer. Like, this is a problem. And I think it would be really dope to release that soon. That's what I'm thinking. I'm talking to some people right now about, possible features on it, and seeing like what would be the best fit, but definitely like some local artists here in Austin. So I'm excited about that.
When you record, how do you do it? 'Cause you play keyboards, piano?
I don't. So when I record, I, actually, so my producer's my boyfriend, we live together.
What? Well, that makes it easy.
Yeah, it makes it really easy. So we write together. He is amazing. He plays guitar, produces. And so I normally with everything start with melody. That's how I communicate with him, whether I'm, you know, baseline, whatever. I sing it, I hum it, what I'm feeling or what I'm thinking. I even start with melody in regards to like before I even write. Like, I have to really feel just what's happening. If he already has something that he's like, hey, like, I want you to listen to this, or if I'm like, hey, I heard a song and I really love this guitar in this, can we like get something like along this vibe? And then we kind of like go from there. But for me, yeah, I start with melody and then the words come after, lyrics come after for me.
It's usually in that process. So you, how did the melodies come to you? Just like walking around or taking a shower or?
No, like it's, if I'm like really like in the state of like creating, I instantly hear things, just instantly. Words are harder for me sometimes. Like, it just depends. It depends on the song. Like, there are some times where I can like write a whole entire song, or there's some times where I like hear the hook and a bridge and the first verse, but I have nothing for the second verse. It just really depends on the day, the song, vibe, everything. But for the most part, yeah, my process is fairly similar. Like, I start with melody and then lyrics come after.
Okay. Yeah. What's your boyfriend's name?
Andrew. Andrew Schindler.
Schuler?
Schindler.
Schindler?
Yeah.
Like the list?
I guess, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a movie.
Let's bleep out his last name. I don't know why I said that. I just feel like I'm having a conversation with one person.
Well, I'm doing my job then.
Yeah. This is like the most comfortable I've actually felt.
Do I need to take out his name?
No, I don't know. I don't think it's that big of a deal. I'm just being,
I was going to say my follow up to asking his name was that I wanted to know it because he does a really great job.
Oh yeah.
And your records sound great so far. Your singles do.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm excited. Like, I'm excited for just like the future and other projects that we're working on. I have songs, you know how it is, that I'm just sitting on.
Yeah.
I have a song mixed and mastered, ready to go, but it just doesn't make sense right now. Hopefully like I'll be able to release more like in the fall, when the second round of COVID hits.
Well, I mean, in some ways, I do understand that headspace, and I actually have one single that's almost finished being mixed. I want to master it, but then I also am like, that seems kind of weird to just put this song out right now. But then I'm like,
yeah,
dude, maybe someone wants to listen. Maybe someone needs 4 minutes of not everything happening all the time.
True. Yeah.
Maybe.
I feel that. I don't know. I think just from my perspective, though, like, I don't know. Like, I just feel like it would make more sense for me to put something out now that is like about what is happening now. And then I feel like after that, I can like move forward. Like, I need to say what I need to say first.
Yeah.
Before I just put something out that's about like a relationship. And it's just
right.
You know?
Yeah. It's just regular white people problems, right?
I didn't say that.
No, I did. I mean, it is funny. I find myself, before I complain about having to stand in line at the post office, like prefacing it with, I realize that there's a lot of stuff going on in the world, but this is still pissing me off. So
yeah. I get it.
So Tori, can I ask you how old you are? Do you say that publicly?
I'm 26.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from the screen, you look like you could be anywhere from like 16 to like 25 or something.
I will take it. My industry age is 18.
Dude, I'm 51.
I appreciate it though.
I'm 51, and it's just like one of those things where you're like, well, I guess I just got to be this guy now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The old guy.
I know you're going to be upset with me. Anyone older than me, and I say this, I get upset. But I like, obviously, I'm getting older. I feel old-ish.
Yeah.
Not feel old, but I'm just like, dang, I'm already 26. Like, how did this happen?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Time just flies, and like, even like this year, like to me, 2020 is gone. Like, it's over. Like, I'm ready for 2021. Like, I'm going to make the most of what's left. And like, but it's just so weird to me. I feel like this year has happened so fast, just with everything like happening.
Yeah.
It's just like, boom, 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 boom. And yeah, I just like, I feel, I'm just like, I don't want to be old. But everyone I talk to who's old, they're like, you always have this like feeling of that you're young. Like, even when you're 40, you're going to feel like you're like 20. Like, when you're 50, you still feel, it's just about, you know, I don't know. It's just, age is just a number. Really, it is.
Yeah. Well, here, I mean, one good thing. I'm 51, but this is my dining room. Like, I don't have a table and chairs. I just have a shitload of instruments everywhere and recording stuff and the whole deal. So
that's really cool, though.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's kind of like childish, too. Like, I would go on dates with people my own age that come to, and they're like, where do you eat? And I'm like, oh, wherever. You know what I mean? Because I just love playing music so much. All right, so what I was getting at with your age is, how did you come, like, how did music find you? Were you always obsessed with it?
I always loved to sing. Like, when I was younger, like, my parents would be like, all right, you've been singing for a long time, can you please stop? I loved music. I always loved to sing. Like, I really didn't talk. Like, I was humming things before I was saying things.
Wow.
Like, humming songs.
Wow.
And I just always had a passion for singing. I sang in, like, my church choir, like, my adult church choir. And at the time, the church that I went to had a lot of, like, really amazing people, like, I don't know if you've heard of Israel Houghton. Am I saying his name right? He's like huge in like the gospel world.
Okay.
But he, when he was slowly coming up, like, he was one of the people there. Our director was this awesome man named Eric Moore. And he's done a lot of stuff with Kirk Franklin and stuff like that. And I was just kind of blessed to be in this really, like, amazing environment with these awesome musicians and, like, growing up and listening to that, like, every Sunday.
How old were you?
I was, like, around, I mean, I had been going there since I was, like, 7 or 8, but I was in the choir, like, at the age of 12.
Okay. Did you think then, like, I want to pursue this as a life, or?
I still think I was, like, in limbo, just because my family was super, like, into athletics. And I've always felt, not that my parents never made me do anything that I didn't want to do, but I always felt split between the two. Like, I think when I was younger, I was like, oh, I really love both. you know, because when you're just, I don't know, like that's just how I was.
Right.
And then when I kind of started like getting older, I was like, oh no, like this is something that I'd want to do like for the rest of my life. Like, I don't feel right if I'm not doing this. Like, it, I just don't feel like myself. And I started to dabble in like recording studio stuff and like working with random people just a little bit in high school. I got like my first little taste of that. And then I started like, I didn't really start really writing till after college, like really writing, like writing songs,
right.
And figuring out like who I am as an artist and like how, like my sound and like everything. Like, I didn't figure out till after, because my goal was to work on music like through college, but it just didn't work that way. Like, being a student athlete and our schedules are insane, and I was on a full ride, and like I was getting my degree for free.
What were you getting your degree in?
Journalism, which I do not use at all. Yes, I got my degree in journalism, but funny thing is I went to East Carolina University, and I went there because they have a great musical theater program. And I was like, I'm going to be the first volleyball player to do musical theater and volleyball. And like, they only take like 12 freshmen a year. You have to audition to get in. And I auditioned my sophomore year. I get in the program, and I'm like there's no way I could have made it work. Like, because with volleyball, we'd play a Friday, Sunday game, we'd leave Thursday morning, and we wouldn't get back to like Sunday or like Monday at like 2 a.m.
Right.
And then I would have to put in stage hours. Still got to go to school. And like, they expect you to do like all this stuff like outside of the classroom, which I totally get. Like, that's the whole point, is to be like working with your peers, students who are writers and who are directing their own like short films and whatever. And like, I couldn't commit to that. And and there was this whole thing, like, being a student athlete is just, it's a lot. There's nothing's ever perfect. Like, I just didn't have a great experience with my coach. I love my school. For the most part, I love my teammates. I mean, being on a team with 14 girls for 4 years is a lot. It's a lot, because girls are girls. But yeah, like, everyone that I played club with in high school, everyone I talked to who played in college was like, I love my team, hate my coach, love my school. Hate my school, love my team, love my coach. Like, there was nothing that was like, yes, full experience was perfect. Like, and I just kind of I had to push, you know, like music and everything to the side. I was looking forward to growing in music and in arts in a different way, because I've always had this like inkling to like be an actor as well. And like, my whole goal is to like work on music for years, like do the whole music thing, and then just stop, go to acting school in the UK or some great acting school in the US, go there, study for like 2 to 4 years, and I want to become the next Viola Davis. That's what I'm gonna do. That's like my whole life plan right there. Like, I love music, but there's something about acting that I love too, but it's such a craft, and I have like such a, I don't know, I just want to learn. I just want to learn that craft so badly. And I like, not so much now, but like, cause I'm focusing on other things, but eventually, like, I want to be able to have that time and work on something else in the creative realm.
It's funny though, because musical theater, like, your music is so cool and you're so hip and free, and musical theater me is so square and like,
I know, goofy. I know, but I think
you'd be like,
I know, but the importance of it is too, of like, I love the aspect of being able to act as well.
Right.
And yeah, my voice does not really fit musical theater like at all. Like,
right, it has to be a goofy voice. Yeah.
Yeah, I would have to really try to sound more classical, yeah. But I was looking forward to training and having like free vocal lessons every day, you know, right. Like I just wanted to build my voice and then being on stage. I mean, that's just like performing. Like performing is performing. Like I could have had a lot of experience just being on stage in a different way. Like that still would have translated over into what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
So yeah.
It always seems weird because some people just like are very bad at one of the things, but they get to do the other thing because they're so good at the one thing. You know what I mean? But then there's people like Janelle Monáe that are like, she's equally as cool as and badass as an actor as she is.
Yeah. I'm definitely gonna be a badass.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Good. Good. But you know what I mean. Usually, like when an actor tries to become a singer, and you're like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel that.
So who was the music like what were you listening to? Like when
like
you were a
up.
Teenager and you were starting to get together with people and make some music, like what were you listening to at that time that was inspiring?
Good question. I like at that time I listened to a lot of different music, like from indie to R&B, like, and I was listening to mostly like generic stuff, like honestly
what they were feeding you on the radio or whatever.
Not too much of that. I mean, like, cause my dad, like, I remember growing up, like all my dad listens to is neo soul. Like, that's it. I get in the car, neo soul. And I love that. Like I listen to a
D'Angelo?
Lot of like Flowetry. Yeah. D'Angelo, Lauryn Hill.
Yeah. Yeah.
Music Soul Child.
Yeah.
So I grew up listening to a lot of neo soul and, in high school, I was just like all over the place. Like, all over the place in what I listen to from like, I listen to a lot of Lauryn Hill to like Adele to like Paramore, like, you know, that teenage like phase. I don't know.
I guess so.
And India Ari, I listened to a lot of India Ari.
Yeah.
I loved her, I guess. Yeah. What's that? What's her name? The girl, put your records on. Tell me your favorite song.
What is that?
Girl, go ahead, let your hair down.
I love that song.
I listened to her a good bit. Norah Jones.
Yeah.
I had a Norah Jones CD. I totally forgot about that, but I did have a Norah Jones CD. I had like the Lauryn Hill, like the Unplugged Live CD.
Oh, yeah, that's a great one.
Yeah. And I think I was obsessed with like movies too at the time, like Sister Act.
Uh-huh.
And Lauryn Hill's in that too. But yeah, I would always sing that one song that she sings in that all the time. So yeah, I was kind of a little bit all over the map in regards to like what I listened to, because I didn't really hone into my music till really after college, like really, really like dive into it from all aspects, from writing to like vocal production and just working with people and figuring out what I like, what I don't like, and how to communicate that, like not being able to play an instrument.
Do you find that is a bit of a handicap when you're trying to explain to somebody what's in your head?
Not so much, because I've worked with Andrew for 2 years. He's really like the only producer that I've been working with for the past 2 years. When I first got out of college, I was working with someone else and it went well. But I think during that time, I was still really trying to figure out myself, and like, it was pivotal for where I am now. But but with him, it's like, it's just easy because we've worked together for so long. And I can do a little, I can do like a, not, I can't really play piano, but I feel like just if I'm able to just sing what I'm hearing, like it still works. Yeah. I don't think it's a hindrance at all. At all.
I wrote with this really great singer, and like I'd produce the demos and stuff for her, and she would have whole songs in her head, but she didn't play any instruments. So she would just kind of like sing to me, and I would kind of feel around for chords, and like if it was minor, she'd be like, I don't want it to be sad, or you know what I mean? Like she knew what she was looking for, but she was actually really good at communicating it. Like, I feel like we always, her ideas never got lost in translation or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's awesome.
Do you ever write with other people other than Andrew?
I do. I've co-written. I've definitely co-written with people. A couple of local people here in Austin. I've co-written with Megs, with Magna. She's awesome. We really vibe together.
I really like them a lot.
Yeah. I've co-written with another artist. His name's Mickey Miller. He's more in the pop scene, but has an incredible voice, and he's been in the Austin music scene for a while. And then another girl, her name's Kirsty, wrote a song together. And the guy who plays keys for me, his name's Nate. He's amazing. I've written with him.
Is he the guy in the So Far Sounds video?
No. So that So Far Sounds was like from like, that's my first performance. Like that was like four really years good. Ago. Okay. Thank you. I like watched that video. I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah. So that was my producer at the time. But yeah, Nate plays with me now. So when I have like a full band, I've written with Nate before, and, yeah, we've had some really cool sessions, like at the studio at Orb, where we try to get a lot of people together and just have these like massive like writing sessions. It doesn't happen often.
It's a pretty nice studio to be going in and having some writing sessions.
Yeah, I try to do all my main vocals there.
What's your how do you connect with those guys? Nevesky's a really good friend of mine, an old friend.
Oh yeah, so my producer, actually, Andrew, aka my boyfriend, everything, he was working, or not working at Orb, but I think he met Melly, and he just started going in and like learning a lot from him and sitting in on sessions, and because he was just really interested in engineering. Like he was really heavy in perfecting guitar. Like he's an amazing guitarist. And then he was dabbling in producing at the time. And then he was like, he's the type of person that wants to learn it all. And he was just there a lot and built that relationship with them. So
I like Matt Melly's work a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a really good engineer. I've only met him like at things there. Not like I've never, well, you know what? That's not true. I did sing back up on somebody's record that he was the engineer that Matt was producing.
Oh, cool.
Nevesky.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love it there.
What about the scene? What do you make of this, the scene here for R&B? Do you call what you do R&B? Or do you call it? Okay.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that in a weird way. There's just so many things. And also I'm old. I don't know if there's some new thing.
Yeah, there's really not a new thing. There really isn't. Like, I've really only been performing, like, well,
since
the
that
first
so
performance
far
you saw. Not even so. That was like my first show, and then I didn't do anything for like 2 years. So I've been performing in Austin for 2 years, like legitimately, like with a band and. Or like even just like figuring out like my live shows and setups of just like, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 person band.
Where were you doing
whatever
shows?
The case may be? I wasn't doing any shows. I was just focusing on like writing because I didn't have any material.
No,
I couldn't do
before the lockdown. Didn't you do some shows?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Before the lockdown.
Yeah.
I got you. Mostly like Empire, Cheer Up Charlie's, Mohawk Indoor, Mohawk Outdoor. I did one show at Antone's and I opened up for Tamika Jones and it was Sam Houston. That was like one of my favorite lineups.
That's a great lineup.
Yeah, it was really, really dope. That was like one of my favorite shows. And then I love Cheer Up Charlie's outdoor. I've done indoor and outdoor there. I've performed at Native Hostel. I've done like a winery or like a winery or something. I don't even know where that was, or like a, I've done like little stuff too. And then, Radio Coffee and Bar, indoor. Yeah. So I've kind of done a little bit of everything, but it's kind of crazy. Like, we do have a community of Black artists here. It's just like, I don't think people know, or I don't know if people care to know. Like, Austin's just super like indie and like country live music. Like, they say that Austin's like the live music capital of the world, but wouldn't the live music capital of the world have every single type of music when you're walking through the city? Like, I don't know. Like,
yeah,
it's very, yeah. Yeah, I just would. Feel like it's, I feel like it's kind of like a poser, like Austin is in regards to that. Like, it's like our music is not heard as much as it should be. And there's a lot of genres of music that aren't heard here. And it's kind of crazy to me that we have that title, because I don't think we represent it at all.
Well, what's funny about it is that every style of music that has a difficult time in Austin getting heard, pop music, hip hop, R&B, soul, is the most popular music outside of the city limits of Austin.
Yeah.
But somehow when you walk in, we pretend that the most popular thing being done is some old dude with an acoustic guitar and a, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's weird. It's such a weird thing. It's like, why don't we do what's actually popular?
I just think people are kind of set in their ways, like people at the top, people who run certain things.
You feel like that's changing over the last few weeks at all?
I think people are more open to, because I think people feel like they have a fire up underneath their ass a little bit. Like, if I'm to be honest, I think people are like, oh, okay, like, there are a community of people here, and like, we haven't given them any type of platform.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, the only, you could probably count the number of like Black artists that you, like, that you consistently hear about on your hand. Like, consistently hear about.
Yeah.
Like, there's some amazing people here, like, from like, even like rappers that you don't hear about.
Right.
And it's crazy to me. But yeah, there's a lot of growing that needs to be done in every city, in every community. And I think that, like, we can get it done. It's just, it's going to take a lot of work and a lot of compassion. But yeah.
Yeah, I also think it just takes getting hip. Like, I think what's happening is there's the older guard is used to this sort of like people within their reach, and then they don't go beyond that because they know that Bob Schneider is good for however many people on a thing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes kind of like a lazy, and that's really not the thing that we should be. You know?
Yeah. We should definitely be celebrating all music, even if that means you have a headliner that you know is going to pull people. Like, that you can put somebody random as an opener who you feel like has like an amazing sound or an amazing band. Like, people, I think, need to take more chances on artists here.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy that, like, even like C3, like, I can't really get in contact with anyone there. There's barely any people of color who work there.
Yeah.
And they run all the major shows they're a part of.
Yeah.
Cannot even infiltrate that. Like, that's crazy to me. That they're bringing in hip hop and R&B artists, but they're not giving like local people like any chances. That's really messed up.
One thing I don't see anymore, that like when I kind of like came up in the 90s, that was like a big thing. Like there was like my band opened for Blur. I don't know if you know that band, but that was a really big band. I opened for Terrence Trent D'Arby. And like, you know, they gave you a chance to like open for like big touring acts. And I really don't see that very much anymore at all.
No.
I wonder if like, that if that comes from the band's touring. Sorry to interrupt you.
I think it comes from the band's touring, but I also think it's like a 50-50 thing when it comes to the people who are actually like putting on the show. Like they could get someone, they could get an extra opener in. They could, but they're not going to put in that extra effort, even if they need to put in an extra effort. Like they're not going to because they don't care. They're making money, and that's what it's about. Like that's what I'm getting from it. Mm-hmm. If I can't get in contact with anyone, or if I'm not seeing people who have been performing longer than I have been, like, and they're not getting opportunities here, and I'm like, well, how the hell am I supposed to to get opportunities if they've been performing here longer than I have and have great music, and they're still basically where they're at? Like they're slowly growing, but like yeah, it's
Tamika,
it's really strange.
Tamika is a prime example of that. I feel like there's Tamika should be on a jet somewhere on her way to do some duet with, you know, John Legend at something somewhere for the president. Not this president, but some other president that people like.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
So your plan is to, for the rest of the year, make some music?
Make some music. I'm riding the wave right now. Like, whatever I feel like releasing at the time. Like, I don't think I'm going to put out like a full like project. I think it's just going to be singles here and there. My goal was to put out a project in the beginning of 2021. But yeah, I just like feel like I'm shifting a little bit as like a human being and as an artist with all these, I don't know, just with everything going on in our world. And I'm just kind of like reevaluating like what I really need to be focusing on and what needs to be in the forefront of my life and like also like a part of my artistry. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm definitely going to release music. I don't know when. It could be sooner than later, but yeah, like I really want to get this one single out for sure. I think it's going to be really beautiful.
Yeah.
Where we are. So
do you have a favorite microphone? I never asked singers that. I just wondered if you do.
I'm not on that level yet.
Okay.
So when I record at Orb, there is one microphone that I use like all the time. It's a Sony. I don't know the numbers.
Okay.
It's a Sony blah 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 blah.
Is it old?
And I don't think it's old now.
Okay.
It's not old. It's like, I don't know, it just makes my voice pop more. I don't know why,
but yeah, it's nice.
I don't, yeah, it's really awesome. And then I don't have a microphone. Are you just talking about for a studio, or are you talking about for live music as
well? For studio, like, you know, a lot of times you go in and sing on some different mics and see which one captures your voice, and then you kind of try and remember that one.
I've only really sang, I think I probably, because I've been recording at Orb this whole time, and they're so awesome. They're like, hey, let's like try this. Like, I want to hear what this sounds like. And I've been using that Sony mic like ever since. So I haven't really switched it up.
Well, whatever they're doing, it sounds great.
Thank you.
Yeah. What have you been doing like to stay sane under quarantine? Like, do you exercise?
Well, actually, so I'm still working.
Right.
I nanny and like, technically, like health care, like, I mean, I'm sorry, like, like caregivers are like, whatchamacallit, like
essential workers.
Essential workers, thank you. So I'm still working with the family that I'm with, and they've been really awesome. It was kind of like, hey, if you feel comfortable, you can still come. If you don't, like, I understand, especially in the beginning because of everything
right,
happening. Right. And so I've been having like a normal like work day.
Okay.
Which has been nice. And like, it gets me out of the house. Like I'm working like basically 8 to 4, like a normal day. And so that's been like, I think having a normal schedule has been helping me because I haven't been like cooped up this whole time.
Yeah.
I'm also not like a huge type of, I'm not like a huge going out person. Okay. Like I'm kind of like introvert, extrovert. So like I'm like in high school, I was a homebody. I didn't want to go out.
Right.
Like my mom had to be like my junior at the end of my junior year, like go to that party. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I'm okay. Like I mean, I've been working, that's been helping me stay sane. I've been working out a little bit, but I got to a point where I was just so in my head and so emotionally exhausted that I felt like I couldn't do anything. But then like now I'm kind of more on a schedule ish with like working out, and I work out at home or like outside. I was a fitness, I am a fitness instructor, but I haven't been,
instructing
fitness. Teaching classes. Yeah. And then it's like, I'm nannying and I don't want to put the family that I'm working
in jeopardy.
Yeah. In jeopardy. So, I don't think I'm going to do that anymore. But yeah, I've been working out. I've been reading. I've been trying not to be on the news a lot. Like just watching a lot of videos or whatever, because at one point I was consuming so much that I couldn't even like function. Like I was just crying all the time. Like I couldn't even like get myself together.
Yeah.
So I had to like find a balance, of like, okay, like I can't be doing all of this, because it was just like too much. It was too much weighing on me, and I couldn't even like, and I think that's why I was not in a creative flow at all. Like I couldn't even really listen to music. I couldn't really do anything with music for like 2 to 3 weeks, maybe a little longer than that. And now I'm finally feeling like I've got more balance and have like a clearer mind. I mean, every day is semi roller coaster, but I feel like more myself, and like I'm taking steps to like having a more balanced, I don't know, life with everything happening.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I wish you a lot of luck with the music. I'll put links to like your Spotify and everything in the text of this podcast. I'm not quite sure when it's going to come out yet.
Okay.
But is there anything I'm missing? I'm sure there's a lot of stuff I'm missing, but are you feel like we got something done here?
Yeah, I really feel like we did. I do have like an acoustic version of Ain't Thinking coming out on Friday or tomorrow.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're not putting this out, like it'll probably already be out for a little bit. But yeah, so that's coming out tomorrow.
It'll be on the streaming services?
No, so it's mostly just going to be on YouTube.
Okay.
It's like an actual live shot.
Oh, nice.
Video.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Okay, I just.
I should probably do that though. That would be cool, like to do a whole acoustic. Like EP or album or whatever, eventually. That's kind of a project that I do, because I do acoustic sets, and it's way more intimate, which is cool. And I love the feel of them. It's crazy how like venue and like how it really determines like the setup of
totally
your band.
Yeah,
like if you need one person, two people, whatever, or like if you need. I don't know. Like it's really cool though. Like I have so many different setups, and that's partly due to my producer, because he's a musician. He was like, we have to have like 7 to 8 different ways to do this depending on where we're at. And like, I would have never done that. Like I've been really blessed to be around like really awesome musicians and people that just have a lot of knowledge and that have helped me learn and like grow in other aspects.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah.
But I think we hit everything.
Good. It was really nice talking to you, Tori.
It was great talking to you,
and yeah,
too.
I'll let you know when this comes out, and I look forward to hopefully meeting you someday when we're out of the, are you there?
Quarantine. Oh,
yeah, out of the quarantine.
Yes, sorry.
That's all right.
My phone's about to die.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for doing the show, Tori.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Lost in your thoughts, yeah. 'Cause the last time you told me. Austin R&B artist Tori Blake. What a great conversation, man. I really enjoyed that. She's fantastic, man. Get out there and check out this new single, Ain't Thinking. That's the one that you're hearing right now. Get out there and follow her on the Spotify. Follow her on the socials. See what happens when she starts playing shows again. Hopefully that'll happen soon. I hope you're all doing okay. That was great talking to Tori and getting to know her. Hey, gang, while you're out there checking out Tori's stuff online, don't forget that you can find this podcast wherever it is you find podcasts, be it Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Overcast, YouTube, anywhere you find podcasts, you get new shows all the time. I don't know this quarantine and all this stuff, and, you know, it's just made me drop shows like the way birds poop. Sorry for that analogy, but I hope you can dig it. Yeah. I'm missing my dog, Taylor. Not going to lie. Taylor Davis, great dog. All right, enjoy this music from Tori Blake. This is her song, Ain't Thinking. Have a good day. Sorry. Sorry to get sad. Let's get down. I ain't thinking about, I ain't even worry about you. Tell me what you gonna do when the night ends and it's just me and you.